Welcome everybody to the Take the Shot podcast, Friday edition with Zay. Thank you for being here. We're going to go ahead and go into some of my favorite topics. Actually, one big topic for today. You know how we do on our Friday edition. I step outside the realm of sports, of just stats and wins and losses, and want to look a little bit more behind the scenes of the athlete and some of the things that they go through and some of the challenges they face being at the top level of their particular profession. Once again, thanks for being here. So glad to go into the weekend. It's Friday, August 18th. We are going right into football season. Preseason's in full swing. My Eagles are hurting right now. We've got three Eagles that got banged up in the game last night on Thursday. Got two neck injuries, and one of our corners, McPherson, tore his Achilles. But we're not here to talk about my Eagles. But still, I got to put him in there because you know me. I got to put my favorite team in there. It's tough. And a lot of these guys only get one shot to prove themselves on the field, and it just really sucks to get hurt in preseason. But I digress. The topic we want to go into today in regards to our Friday edition of Take the Shot is the topic of UFC fighters. Now, I know on Saturday that we have a big fight coming up between Aljamain Sterling and Sean O'Malley for the title. O'Malley's coming in, obviously, as a knockout artist. I believe he finished, three of his last four fights by knockout, if I'm not mistaken. Sterling is a ground technician, very much in the takedown game. And it's going to be a contrasting of two styles. Now, I think Sterling can definitely throw his share of power, and O'Malley's going to have to respect that. But we're all looking for the contrast here. That's why this title fight is going to be so interesting, because we know that one punch, O'Malley can knock out Aljamain Sterling. I'm still taking Sterling to win this fight. He is the odds-on favorite, just because I think he's a more well-rounded fighter. Now, the topic I really want to get into today in regards to these UFC fights and fighters in general is the topic of their pay and how they're represented in the UFC. Now, most of us only see the top level of competition, right? When it comes to these guys, your Conor McGregors, your Nate Diaz's, your John Jones, your Dana Cormier's, all of those guys, you know, are very good fighters and going to make good money, and it's well-deserved, right? Because at the top of their profession. But for all these guys that you hear about and you get excited for when they come on the pay-per-view, there's 100, 150 other guys that you ain't never even heard of and that you probably never will hear of. And they're all UFC fighters a lot of times. They get signed to these contracts. But let me just enlighten you a little bit about what the minimum salary is for a UFC fighter. Not minimum salary. That's just the baseline of what you can get for signing the contract, right? And then you can negotiate from there because they're independent contractors. They ain't employees. I'm pretty sure most of the people listening to this probably already know that. But the number is $12,500. Now, I know some of y'all live frugally. I try to live frugally. I'm very bad at it. I like nice things. But that is not enough money to live off of, if I say so myself. That's below the poverty line, right? So you know a lot of these fighters have other jobs and things that they have to do to survive, along with training and hopefully getting that big break to be able to rise up the UFC ranks and get into the million-dollar range. The person who's made the most money in the UFC by far in her career is Conor McGregor. I'm sure there's no surprise there. Over $20 million. Conor is Conor, and he's going to be the draw. I was surprised to find out that John Jones only made $7 million throughout his whole UFC career. I'm sure a lot of that's gone to legal fees. That's on him. They ain't on nobody else. But again, those are the top end guys. And imagine you seeing that and wanting to become a fighter, and you say, man, maybe I can do this. You know, I'm good enough to be signed by the Ultimate Fighting Championship and getting a chance to rise through the ranks. And they say, yeah, we got you. You don't get no benefits, no health care, no nothing. We ain't giving you shit, but we'll give you $12,000, $12,500. We'll give you $1,000 a month to get your head beat in and get a chance to rise up the ranks. Now, this is where, you know, some people are like, cool, I get my shot. If I deserve it, I'll earn my way up and make my millions. But I can't believe I'm saying this, After all, if you listen to our previous episodes, you know how I feel about that guy, Jake Paul. Now, he did come up with not a solution, but an option, in that it just pisses off Dana White so much, is that these fighters should be paid $50,000 minimum a year. Now, here's where it comes into to question, right? Because I know there are some people who make less than that doing their regular day job, and they're like, wait a minute. This dude just makes the Ultimate Fighting Championship, not even Ultimate Fighter of the Show, not anything. He just gets signed to a contract. It's minimum $50,000 a year. Is that fair? What if he's not even good? He's just good enough to get the job, right? I would argue in that case that profession is much more, it's high risk, put it that way. It's much more high risk than most jobs that are going to pay even that amount or less than that. Those construction jobs, those high risk jobs, you're going to have some kind of insurance pay or some kind of other benefit to get you, make it balance, put it that way, make it balance. And in the case of these fighters, independent contractors with no union or anything like that, they're just subject to whatever the UFC is going to give them. I can't lie. It doesn't sit right with me. I'm not saying they need to be full-time UFC employees. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm saying here. I just think you should get paid more than $12,000 to get your head beat in. I think most people would maybe agree with that. Now, they did make the decision to fight. That's their decided profession. If they get the head beat in, then that's what you signed up to do. I understand that. But imagine, think about this with the NFL. I don't know, some of y'all remember back in the day when the NFL was not a full-time profession, where these guys were playing football and then during the summer months were out there flipping burgers or working at a car wash or working at a dealership to make ends meet. And the quality of football then was, well, you could argue, depending on which old head you ask, they would say, oh, it was great back then. Everybody was tough and you just ran over people. Yeah, but it wasn't as fun. It wasn't guys like Patrick Mahomes throwing no-look passes, man. It wasn't these creative plays that people are running now with their offenses. It wasn't like that. It was line up and hit someone in the face, and hopefully you got more yards out of that. 3 yards in a cloud of dust, right? Now, we're at a place where the game, high flyers, great athletes, they can focus their entire lives on just being football players. Now, if we can get something like that similar with fighting, how much would that increase the quality of what we're watching? Now, the cards would be stacked from top to bottom. You know how much you could charge for pay-per-views now, UFC? You're already charging like $70. Imagine if the whole card is stacked because that is their profession and that's how good a fighter they are. I think that works across the board for any sport. If you allow people to focus 100% of their energy on something, you're more than likely going to get a better result and a better outcome. And it would also increase the talent pool of fighters because now it's actual viable option for a livable wage. So you get more people in there, sure, who probably don't need to be fighters, but they see a quick paycheck, they don't get flushed out real quick. Because you either got it or you're not. You don't, right? It's another talent-driven sport. It's not like you can just walk in there and say, I'm going to make a quick $50,000 for a year and get out. No, these guys train way too hard, and being able to take a punch is a skill and know how to hit back in the correct way. And the ground game, and you know, you watch UFC, you know all the things these guys got to do. And it's not just walking in there and fighting for 30 seconds. You know, these five-minute rounds ain't no joke. So I'd argue that, I hate to say it, that maybe Jake Paul has a point here, right? And he's recently just signed with the PFL, the Professional Fighting League, that's counter to UFC. It's a UFC competitor. And they give 50-50 revenue split to the fighters on these pay-per-views. UFC overall made $3 billion last year, their last fiscal year. 15% of that went to the actual athletes, to the fighters. Right? Because they're independent contractors. Benefits are a huge part of a lot of companies' bottom line when it comes to their employees, and UFC gets to axe all of that. Now, it's interesting because you would say, like, yeah, that makes sense. Out of $3 billion, players or athletes only get 15%. If you increase that a little bit more from 12K to 50K, would probably cost the UFC around $20 to $25 million if my calculations hold up. So that would be a net loss of $25 million, about, we'll say on the high end, $25 million, to pay these athletes that amount. That's a drop in the bucket from $3 billion, you say, right? But I think would be more than enough of a gain when you see the quality of the fights that you would get and the talent pool increase, just like it did with the NFL that went up. NBA, same thing. It's not just guys playing it as a part-time gig or doing it as a part-time job. Now, another argument I could see coming up is that, well, fighters can only fight so many times, right? If you fight twice a year, why do you deserve that much money? You have to perform twice, right? NFL players perform for 17 weeks minimum. Basketball players, 82 games. Baseball players, 162 games. So there is some value, I guess, that the company gets back in that case. And it's a fair argument, right? It's a fair argument that these guys, you say, may not do enough. But I think that undermines what it takes to be a fully trained professional fighter. I'm not saying being a football player or a basketball player is any less, but you also have to realize the minimums for those players in those sports is a lot higher than what it would be in UFC, right? 50K in the UFC. In the NFL, I think the veterans minimum is over six figures. So is it in the NBA. And the NBA and baseball, players have a ton of rights, right? I mean, the players union in the MLB is one of the strongest we have, probably in the world. Them dudes don't play, right? They don't play. The only leverage teams have when it comes to baseball really is that arbitration period where they don't have to pay a player the value that they're probably really worth, a la Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker damn near in the MVP race in the AL, at least lately, and over the past few months. And that dude, he's getting paid well right now, right? But that dude's gonna could get a huge contract, especially without the salary cap. But it has to be negotiated, and he can't really leave a la arbitration until he reaches that sixth year. But that's what the kind of all the leverage baseball teams have, and the players can do the rest because the union has negotiated that. But UFC fighters get nothing in that regard. Now, that means there also is no cap. Like I mentioned before, when it comes to McGregor's and the John Jones, etc., there's no cap for those guys. If you were just the elite level athlete, you can make a ton of money. At the end of the day, it just comes down to corporate greed, right? I mean, the UFC, I forgot what their parent company is, who just also bought WWE. There's a reason that that graph is going up and to the right. It is because of things like this that you are essentially getting this labor in a talent pool and a basically farm system for virtually nothing. For virtually nothing, having these guys chase a dream of being the guy on top. Now, high risk, high reward. I'm okay with that logic. I'm okay with that mindset of high risk, high reward. But I'm also of the ilk that would say, there should be a baseline here for what the floor is as a business and to respect your talent pool. I just think it's disrespectful that the UFC even has that as the number, right? How can these guys afford camps? How can they afford to even have the proper nutrition to be a competitive fighter? I would honestly say, and I don't know how these other guys came up, the famous ones who are famous at this point, I don't know how they came up, but you got to have someone in your corner almost to support you the entire time until you actually make it big. You need someone else outside of the USC to invest in you for that to work. How many fighters have probably been high quality, basically championship level, that never got that chance because they just didn't know a person or were just in the wrong geographical area that they weren't seen to have that level of investment for them? You lose that. You've lost out on probably some major storyline and some major talent. But if you switch this up and just give them enough to like, that's like 50K. Like, I mean, money's money in different people. And, you know, what's considered rich and poor different people varies. But you can 50K, you should be able to figure it out. I'm not saying any more than that. I'm not saying any more. I think 50K is more than enough if this is what you're going to do. And after that, you have to prove it. And I don't blame a lot of these fighters for going out and trying to step out of the UFC and do other things, into like PFL and things like that. I forgot his name. The African guy who, I think Njoba, I don't remember the name, but he's the one that left and wants to go to boxing. He's being trained by Mike Tyson and wants to fight Fury. Because he hated the way that UFC was treating him as a fighter and what his payouts were going to be before they felt like he deserved the right payout and the right pay-per-view points. I think that's a smart decision on his part. If we're going to be independent contractors and you think I'm the next big thing and you want to book me for a big bill, but I'm not getting the cut that I deserve, then I'm a jump ship. I mean, I don't blame him for that. It's just one of those things where when you watch it, and I say all this because as I'm looking at the Sterling and O'Malley fight coming up, it's just a lot of the same story of, well, personally, let me go get this out of the way. I don't think O'Malley is a polished enough fighter for this fight. I think he needs to be a little more well-rounded. I think that's why he's the underdog. I think he should have got one more fight or maybe two and show some other things before he got a shot at Sterling. But I think Sterling's been underrated his entire career. I think everyone knows he's good, but I feel like everyone's kind of waiting for him to, the other shoe to drop, and for him to catch that loss and lose the belt. But I digress. For those guys, good for him getting the shot. He's going to make a good amount of money in that fight. But I know in the last fight that Sterling made about 200K, I want to say, which is awesome for a one-night performance and to be the champ and to be at the top. But I can't imagine what he had to do to get to that point. A lot of these guys that come out of nowhere, what they had to do to get to that point and who was the one that actually invested in them. So one of their things that they want to do, the UFC fighters themselves, they've been attempting to unionize, right? They've been attempting to form a labor union and be a one strong stand against the UFC. Yeah, good luck with that. That's not going to work, especially in a sport like fighting, because everybody, I think the barrier to entry with all the training and stuff to get into it, it's a lot to be a fighter, but it's a one-track thing. It's not like hitting a baseball, you know what I mean? It's not like if the UFC fighters unionized and let's say they went on strike, it's not like you wouldn't be able to get a bunch of lower quality people to come in and fight and it not be entertaining. It won't be as polished. If you've been watching the sport for a long time, you'd be able to tell that, yeah, this is a shitty fight. But a lot of people who watch the sport don't care. If someone's bleeding and they're swinging punches fast, that's good enough for them. And fighting is one of those sports where you can probably put that on there and they'll notice a drop in quality, but your numbers won't hurt as much as maybe the fighters union would want it to. So on top of that, you also have the issue of independent contractor once again. It's not like you're an employee striking against your company. If your contract is null and void, then you have no power in a situation because you don't work for these people. You would just, if they terminate it immediately, which they have the right to do in a lot of these deals, then it's not a labor union anymore against them because you're not employees of the company. So you get kind of screwed out of that, right? And so you really have no leverage and no protections under a lot of the labor laws in these states. So I think fighters are in a real bind here. And I think that's why they get these money grabs with the Jake Pauls and these celebrity fights and Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather. The reason those happen is because they actually get a bigger, fair slice of the pie, right? I know Nate Diaz and Conor McGregor, in that first fight, Nate Diaz made, I want to say, $400,000. I had looked it up a bit earlier in his fight winnings. And $400,000 to $500,000 in the first fight. And in the second fight, he made close to $5 million in one fight. So I can't imagine where he was like, damn, if I would have negotiated myself better in the first one, which he won, Nate Diaz versus McGregor, he won and then lost the second. I would have been in such a better place. I probably wouldn't have to take no Jake Paul fight. Now, to be fair, $5 million is enough. Over his lifetime, I believe Nate Diaz has made $10 million over his UFC career. So it's not like, I don't know, his financial situation, but I would say he shouldn't be hurting for money. Regardless, I would think that him being able to negotiate and have a little bit more leverage in the room with UFC would have allowed him for more consistent payday across those two fights. It's a sticky situation, right? Because I don't want to vouch and say get in the UFC's business and say making them all employees, because that's just too many people, right? I don't want a second to sign up. It's not like you can really go for an interview, I feel like, for this. Like, you can't go into the UFC office and just be like, hey, bro, I'm going to be a fighter. And they're just like, okay, well, can you fight? Show us some tape or something. You show us some tape in the gym and they just hire you. You make $50K. That is too many people who want to do this that to make that sustainable and to make that work, right? You have camps everywhere and hire them as employees. That's just too much. That's too much. But as independent contractors, you're not even offering them really benefits or like an employee kind of style, right? You're not adding them to your payroll here in that sense with the $50K independent contract. You're just giving them more money. Whatever they want to fucking do with it at that point, they can do. You're not giving healthcare benefits. I'm not even going that far. People ask to say that should be the standard form. I mean, look, that shit's expensive. Let's be real. A lot of times, if you've ever run a business, that ends up being the biggest chunk of your expenses is your employees. And a lot of time, it's those healthcare and benefits. And I can't even imagine what they would be for a profession like UFC, right? For that to be your job. I don't know if they could go that far, but I think there could be a minimum. But it's very unregulated. Again, independent contractor changes things. So my final say in all of this is that there should be a little bit more love showed to these fighters. I get it. UFC puts on the promotion. UFC provides the TV revenue and everything else for these guys to even have a chance at this money. But I think they need to be careful with Saudi Arabia starting to invest a lot more into sports. I think combat sports in general have started to take off with the Karate League. I actually was watching that. That was pretty dope. I think it was on DAZN or BN Sports. There are other options for people and for these fighters to go to if the UFC continues its bad practices. And a lot of people forget that just because all you know is the UFC in the States, that internationally, it's okay. But like K1, and there's a couple of Asian fighting leagues that are way more popular, right? The UFC is not the end-all be-all when it comes to combat sports. So I think Dana White needs to check his privilege a little bit. Instead of saying, you know, fuck this, fuck that, I'm not doing this for these guys, this ain't a charity, you know, blah, blah, blah. If you start losing that, only way to hurt the rich guys in his pocketbook, right? That's the only way you gotta hurt him. So if a lot of his talent pool starts leaving and going to other areas and the quality of the fights is going to suffer and he can't get those storylines and high-end talent anymore, that is unfortunately the only way that things will probably ever change in this regard. Either that or people just stop going to the UFC period for fighting. And that's it. So is there a solution probably soon for this? I don't think so. But I do think with the age of streaming and these other leagues coming up, there are other opportunities for fighters to do what they want to do and have more control over their futures than the UFC. So with all that said, Dana White, might want to watch out a little bit. I know you think you're hard ass. I know you think you're badass. I think you make a great product. I will watch the fight this Saturday. I'm very interested in it. But at the end of the day, You were the guy signing checks and talking in the microphone. You were not throwing and taking punches. You need to understand that there is a level of at least compassion and empathy. Out for you would be sympathy, because I don't know if you can empathize with going in an octagon for 5 rounds in a championship bout. But you at least show sympathy for these people that you're using for their labor to make your product. They're not asking for much. You could argue, well, once you give a mouse a cookie, they're going to want a glass of milk. We can get to that when we get there. And fortunately for Dana White, I can already tell it's going to take him losing people or potentially losing money for this to be able to be changed. But it is something that should be changed. It will make the sport better with better quality fights. It will have a bigger talent pool and give more opportunity to people who want to be fighters but are in situations where it is just not economically possible for them to fully invest in being a fighter. I think he'd do some good here by changing this, but I think all they're doing is looking at the bottom line, that almighty dollar speaks, and that's the only way that we're going to have any change in this regard. So that's my take on the Friday edition of the Take the Shot podcast. We've got some good stuff going on this weekend. I think preseason football has kind of dominated the talk. As I mentioned earlier in this, my Eagles are a little beat up. I do not like to see that. N'Kobe Dean played. That was great. DTR is balling. But we'll save that topic and those that analysis for the Monday edition of the show. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in to the Friday edition of Take the Shot podcast with Zay. I will see y'all next time.